Could the New York Stock Exchange go German?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Adrienne Hill in for Steve Chiatakis. Now, the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The German Stock Exchange is looking to buy the New York Stock Exchange. If the merger goes through, it would create the world's largest exchange. Marketplace's David Gura is with us live from Washington to help explain. Good morning, David.
Hey, Adrian.
So yesterday we were talking about a possible merger with the London Stock Exchange and a Toronto Exchange. Today, this news, what's going on?
Well, many of the older exchanges are worried about losing two things, relevance and business, as better technology means trading can happen and does happen off the trading floor and online. And in part, that's because there's a market open somewhere every hour of the day. I talked to David Buick. He's a trader with BGC in London. He says mergers are becoming more and more essential. Investors get easier access, they pay lower commissions, and that's also true in emerging markets.
The only way forward, if they're going to compete, is to go global and have affiliations or mergers.
Now, are we going to see a shift away from longstanding financial capitals like New York with this sort of move?
Dave Buick told me New York probably isn't going to lose its supremacy, but he said, keep an eye on Bombay, Shanghai, on Singapore. Its market, he noted, just aligned itself with Australia's, and he says that's a good thing. So New York will remain a financial capital, but there will be others.
Marketplace's David Gura, thanks.
Thank you.
Thousands of shipping and canal workers along the Suez Canal in Egypt aren't working. They're pushing for better pay and housing. The sit-in hasn't disrupted shipments yet, but it could. Some of the countries most concerned are those who depend on imports for their energy. This week, Marketplace's Stephen Beard is in Jordan, one of the Middle East's oil-poor countries. He joins us now from Amman. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Adrian.
So how has the crisis affected Jordan's energy supplies?
It's cut one of its most important energy arteries. Last week, there was an explosion in a natural gas pipeline between Egypt and Jordan, which it uses to generate about 60% of its electricity. Here's a former Jordanian energy minister, Khaled Irani.
It might be around $3 million a day, the extra cost of shifting to heavy fuel and diesel. And if it stayed for a week or a month, that is very significant.
Now, Jordan just cannot afford an extra $100 million a month, especially since the crisis has hit the country's crucial tourist industry, and it's losing revenues of $50 million a day.
It's really amazing. With the whole region in turmoil the way it is now, what does it mean for the stability of Jordan?
This is a critical question. Jordan is a key American ally in this region. Like most countries in the Middle East, Jordan's been trying to buy off its disaffected population by subsidizing everything from food to fuel. These extra costs are going to make it a lot harder to do that.
Stephen Beard in Amman, Jordan. Thanks, Stephen.
Okay, Adrian.
Now, let's do the numbers. Global shares are down at the moment. The world's largest liquor maker, Diageo, says earnings rose during the back half of 2010. The maker of Smirnoff Vodka says it was helped along by a recovering global economy. The Dow finished yesterday slightly higher at 12,239.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellowbook 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. And by Reputation.com, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation Defender is now Reputation.com.
Fashion Week begins today in New York. Those pricey catwalk designs are out of reach for the most of us, but cheap copycat versions could be available in no time. So a proposed law aims to copyright clothing designs, but some legal experts say that could be a fashion don't. Janet Babin reports.
Designer Nanette Lepore has held dozens of fashion shows, but she says it's always a mad dash to the catwalk.
We're still scrambling, we're behind, and I'm panicked.
About 130 people work at her garment district studio. For the show, she's mocking up a blouse with bias-cut sleeves.
So we're into, like, playing with bias again, which always makes me nervous that we keep harking back to the 1930s since that was our Depression-era clothing.
Lepore's business was flat last year. This drapey sleeve could help drive sales. But distinctive designs like these are easily knocked off, then sold by mass marketers for a fraction of the original's price. That's good for people who shop at places like Zara and H&M. Not so good for designers. Lepore's lost sales to imitators before.
I discovered this lace-up-the-back trick that made it so that we didn't have to make sizes in clothing. But a lot of bigger companies took that and ran with it.
Lepore supports a bill that would give copyright protection to her unique and original designs for 3 years. But Duke Law Professor James Boyle says the bill will have unintended consequences. Imagine, he says, the courtroom drama that could break out over two little black dresses.
The idea of federal judges or juries deciding whether or not they think something looks similar. I mean, can you imagine? The fashionistas will be rolling their eyes.
And even designers at the top of the fashion food chain draw from the zeitgeist. Jennifer Jenkins directs the Center for the Study of the Public Domain at Duke Law School. She says a few years ago, Diane von Furstenberg created an adorable jacket, only
it looked exactly like a jacket made by a small Canadian designer named Mercy.
Von Furstenberg can afford expensive copyright attorneys, but even if this bill passes, Jenkins says smaller shops like Mercy will struggle to prove their work is their own. Congress is expected to consider the bill sometime this year.
Okay, good. Can I have two pattern makers from upstairs today?
Just not in time for Fashion Week. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally, there'll be a surprising accessory on the catwalks at Fashion Week. The fanny pack is back. According to the Wall Street Journal, Diane von Furstenberg will start selling a hands-free bag for $325. Prices skyrocket from there. Hermes will sell a version for more than $4,600. A far cry from the $7 neon pink fanny pack I sported back in the 80s. Or maybe not. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
There are two economies in Egypt, one for the regular folks, one for the dictatorship.
Being in control of key political portfolios does give you a tremendous advantage when it comes to setting up business deals.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the law of corruption, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.